This is a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.com for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. Be sure to join our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. Now, without any further ado, let's welcome the host of this broadcast, Christina Sasso.
Hello, everybody. Christina Sasso here. I want to welcome you all to the Godcast. I want to welcome our listeners, new and old, our supporters, our friends, our partners. And here we are in our second Godcast of this Christmas season, looking forward with expectation to all the wonderful things that are coming up before the end of this year, 2013, before we vault ourselves into the new year, 2014. So I hope you're all out there expecting reconciliation, expecting debts being canceled, expecting health manifesting, all those wonderful promises coming to fruition, coming to manifestation. I just wanted to draw your attention to some scriptures in the Old Testament. Now, I have been listening to Christmas music, and I've been actually listening to the words of the really older Christmas songs, and they really do speak to this feeling of anticipation of something great, like the whole world is waiting with bated breath for this child to come into the world to start the whole redemption process. What the first Adam couldn't accomplish, the second Adam, Jesus, would accomplish. And he was in total agreement. The Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit made this plan. And finally, it was coming to pass. It was being literally birthed into our atmosphere, the natural world. The spiritual was being made flesh. The Word was being made flesh. So I find that to be really evident in the older songs, that feeling of anticipation. For you, our listeners out there who've been standing in agreement with the word that was spoken by George Pearson's last week, we are expecting too. Now, even though Jesus has already came, he's already been made flesh, he already accomplished everything, we're expecting those promises to manifest before the end of this year, 2013. So there's all this air of expectancy and this air of anticipation. And even the world, the people who are in the world, feel it. Sometimes I think they take it to the extreme and it becomes stressful and it becomes anxiety-ridden because the devil can twist that. But I do feel that the whole world can't deny the spirit that is flowing at this time of year. I just think because we give it a place when sometimes during the rest of the year we miss it. So it's one of the songs that I really have been listening to is a song by George Frideric Handel. And I know you're all familiar with it, the Handel's Messiah, which I believe was written for Easter, but has become more of a Christmas song. And I started going through some of the libretto because I really wanted to know all the words. And basically, all the words from the song are from Scripture. Specifically, I was looking at the scriptures in Isaiah. And for the past couple of days, I've been looking for scriptures in Isaiah that point to the coming of Jesus. So I'm just going to start for myself, not talking about the song right now. In Isaiah 7:14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." And that is in Isaiah 7:14. And I just kind of went through the chapters looking for where the prophet Isaiah, and this is not the only place in Old Testament that it points to Jesus being born, but I was just focusing on Isaiah. Okay, and then in Isaiah 9, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan." The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you, as people rejoice at their harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle, and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And that's actually the words to that most famous chorus in Handel's Messiah, "Unto us a child is born." And you should actually listen to it on YouTube. There's so many different variations of it. But that was Isaiah 9, all the way from 1 to 7. And then just to go on to give you a couple of more instances, in Isaiah 11, 1, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy, with justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. And that one goes on also, and I'm just going to keep going just to give you a couple of more examples. Oh, I love this scripture in Isaiah 32, starting with verse 1. See, a king will reign in righteousness, and rulers will rule with justice. Each man will be like a shelter from the wind, a refuge from the storm, like streams of water in the desert, and the shadow of a great rock in a thirsty land. And the eyes of those who see will no longer be closed, and the eyes of those who hear will listen. And the mind of the rash will know and understand, and the stammering tongue will be fluent and clear. No longer will the fool be called noble, nor the scoundrel be highly respected. For the fool speaks folly, his mind is busy with evil. He practices ungodliness and spreads error concerning the Lord. The hungry he leaves empty, and from the thirsty he withholds water. The scoundrel's methods are wicked. He makes up evil schemes to destroy the poor with lies, even when the plea of the needy is just. But the nobleman makes noble plans, and by noble deeds he stands. And then I'm skipping over to Isaiah 41. And this is another line from that libretto. It's 40, starting with verse 1. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And just skipping down from Isaiah 40, I just read 1 to 5, and I'm just going to read 40, verse 9. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up and do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and see, his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads them those that have young. It's just a really beautiful picture of Jesus coming and the expectation and the joy that it's going to break forth. I'm saying was going to, because this is in Old Testament, but has already broken forth. And we should just hold on to that and just enjoy it and just look forward to everything that God has already done manifesting in our lives, and how much God loves us, how much this was such a big deal. And then in Isaiah 51, verse 4, starting with verse 4, "Listen to me, my people, hear me, my nation. The law will go out from me. My justice will become a light to the nations. My righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on the way, and my arm will bring justice to the nations." The arm of the Lord is Jesus. So when he says my arm, he's talking about Jesus. And then in Isaiah 52, verse 13, "See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So will he sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand." And then continuing to 53, "Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" And the arm of the Lord is Jesus. "He grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. And he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one whom men hid their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." And that just goes on and on and on, and just talking to the future, about 700 years into the future. "Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer." God's will was to crush his one and only begotten Son, the Son that he loved so much. It was his will to crush him so that we would be free. "Yet it was the Lord's will." So now I'm reading this from Isaiah 53:10. "Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hands. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." So it was God's will to crush Jesus, and to cause him to suffer for me. If you have a doubt that God loves you, just look to that one scripture, that he would send his Son, his one and only Son, his only beloved Son, into the earth. And Jesus going along with this, fully prepared to face all of this, because how much the Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, how much they loved you. And that's why we're rejoicing at this time of year, I feel. It's just that feeling of this King, this our God, our Lord, the person of Jesus that was and is sitting on a throne in heaven, puts all that aside to enter the earth through an infant and go through all the stages of life as an infant, as a little boy, as a young man, so that he can accomplish the will of the Father in complete agreement with that will. it's amazing if you really just meditate on that. And as Tim McDonald always says, meditating, like he got this, I believe, from Bill Johnson, meditate and chew on that. When you listen to these Christmas songs, these older Christmas songs, just meditate on those words, like how awesome this is. Oh my God, of course we're rejoicing. This is the greatest time of year because I know it wasn't actually in December, but just put that aside. But the symbolism of Jesus entering the earth as a human being to accomplish what he was going to accomplish in his life for us because of his great love for us. You have to meditate on it because it will just boggle your natural mind. And Isaiah 54 goes on to say in verse 9, "To me this was like the days of Noah when I swore that the waters of Noah would never again cover the earth. So now I have sworn not to be angry with you, never to rebuke you again. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you." Wow. Wow. And that, remember that peace on earth, that doesn't mean, you know, the world will say, oh, you know, we just want peace. We want peace. You know, it's not peace between man and man or nation and nation and king and king. That's not the peace that he's talking about. The peace that was purchased is the peace between God and man. The sin of man has forever been removed. That sin has totally been annihilated. So now we can come boldly into the throne room of grace because of what Jesus did by removing sin from our lives. We have now free access to that fellowship with the Father. And that's why he sent Jesus, because he craved fellowship with us so much. He so much wanted to spend time with us. He so much wanted to bless us and be a part of our lives that he had to remove that sin. So the plan was Jesus was going to go and take all of that sin of the whole world, every single person that ever lived and ever will live, remove that sin so that we have free access to the Father and the Father has free access to us without the obstacle of sin. Wow. 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 That's, you know, sometimes you just sit here and go, wow. Wow. It's just awesome. I'm trying to cram so much into this one podcast, but I think I'm going to leave it for the next time. But I want you just to take these words and just chew on them. Chew on it like a cow would chew his cud. Just ruminate on it and think about what that means and the awesomeness of it. It's not something that you can just think about quickly. It's just so deep and so big and so wide. That love that he has for you. And when you get a revelation of that, so many things will fall into place in your life. So many things will fall into place. And then you can vault yourself into 2014, knowing how much God loves you and knowing how much he wants the blessings to flow in your life so that now you can be a vessel of that love and a vessel of those blessings to other people, to the hurting world, the world that is in just such dire need of the love of God. It's the only thing that will save us. It's the only thing that will fix anything. It is the answer to every question. It is the solution to every problem. And guess what? You have it. You have the answer to everybody's problem. It's that huge. It's that awesome. So I will leave you with this, and I would encourage you to listen to that Christmas song, although I do think it was written for Easter. It's totally appropriate for Christmas, and we have absconded it and used it at Christmas time, and I love hearing it. So I would encourage you to listen to it and really just listen to the words and then go into the scripture and find those scriptures that are in that libretto and read them and meditate on them and just enjoy this season and enjoy the blessings that are manifesting in your lives, the blessing of reconciliation, the blessing of health, the blessing of prosperity, the blessing of joy, the blessing of peace, the blessing of love, and just share it. So I will leave you with that. I wish you a happy Christmas, and I want to remind you that we love you, God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed!
you for listening to today's broadcast from A History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. Sign up for your free daily devotion today at ahistorywithgod.com and click on Contact. Type in your name and email address and you'll be all set. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Mark chapter 8, verse 18. Until next time, stay in the blessing.